Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan. Hello?
Hello.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Eric.
Chris forgot to say his name.
I did.
I'm like, hello. He's like, hello.
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 I'm wondering, are we going in a different order?
Oh, we've done that before and it screws us all up.
Yeah.
Anytime we have the girls on, anytime Heather and Dawn are on it, we screw up because we all go in different orders every time and none of us know when to go, so we all just talk over each other. All right, we're at minute 55.
Woohoo!
We are halfway. We are now officially halfway through this movie.
Yep.
And Eric got us there.
I just played a small part.
Yep. That voice you hear is Eric Nash. He is finishing out his week with us with the Watchmen Minute, and we're super excited to have him. He's been great this week. It's always good to have a fun guest who can actually tell us all the fun things that he sees. Sometimes it's stuff that we completely have missed because we've watched this now so many times. This minute begins with voice print ID and a 6-digit access code and ends with us learning the white room has air conditioning.
The Black Vault is what it's called.
It is. It's called the Black Vault by Ethan, but it is actually a white room.
Yep.
With black floors. We finally get to see the Black Vault. I'm going to call it the White Room. I don't want to call it the Black Vault. I don't like that because it's a misnomer, and I don't like that. There's so much tech in this episode after being without tech for so long. It's an embarrassment of riches how much tech we get. We get scanners. We get tons of... I made a list. Here you go. We get a voice print. Wait, let me explain a little bit first. Ethan is explaining to Luther all the things that they've got to get through to get to this standalone mainframe in Langley. The things they have to get through is voice print ID, which they won't be able to match. A 6-digit access code, which they won't have. A retinal scan they can't fake. A double electronic key card from the outer room, which they also won't have. And then once they get in the room is pressure sensitive to people walking around on it, temperature controlled to within 1 degree, and all that's done with air conditioning at the end. Oh, we'll leave that part out. So, yeah, there's a million things they don't have.
But, you know, it sounds like all of these things are things that they would be able to have if they had all their equipment.
Yeah. Do you think that Jack, rest his soul, would be able to mimic some of these things, like the voice print and the 6-digit access code?
Yeah, I would think that they would probably take the guy, William Dunlow, and, you know.
William Dunlow.
Exactly. And copy his voice and his fingerprints and everything, and then his eyes, and put Ethan in the costume and have him go in there and try to pretend like he's him.
I mean, yeah, I just did a perfect William Dunlow.
Exactly.
So I could totally get through voice print ID. Hello, I'm William Dunlow.
Or Kermit the Frog.
I'm Kermit the Frog. But yeah, William Dunlop. This was, though, at a time when the next movies where they go crazy with the voice mimics.
Yeah.
This movie, it's just them doing goofy accents.
And the other person always had to look like Tom Cruise for some reason.
Mm-hmm. It's the best they can do.
Yeah.
So not to really jump ahead with those. I mean, you are jumping ahead yourself, but... In the next movies, would you say that those are ADR done though? You know, or are they really Tom Cruise and everyone else actually mimicking?
No, it's an ADR.
It's ADR with the.
I assume what they've done is, and also they probably with the level at which Tom Cruise is an actor.
Yeah.
I'm sure he just does all the lines and the way he wants to do them. And then they have the other people he's duplicating come in an ADR.
Mm-hmm.
They need to do the extra work. Yeah.
They have to match the lips.
Yeah, they have to match his lips. Yeah. I don't think it's the other way around. Oh, no. I don't think they pre-tape that. Tom Cruise is not going to put up with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's a producer. He doesn't have to.
Nope. In the script, the white room, black vault, whatever you want to call it, it's a little different than it is the movie. Yeah, the script has this in its lines. It says, it's not large, but it's impressive. Okay, great.
We're back to the porn talk. The erotic novel
that's
talk.
But that's in the script. Thanks. I'm sure the production designer's like, that's useless. A single terminal is bolted into the middle of the floor, and the glass and tile walls of the room overlook computer storage towers. Also not in this movie.
Well, I guess they are. The towers are in the wall, is what it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like, well, it's a cheaper way to do it because they would have had to fake a big room of servers. They want this to look like a giant supercomputer with banks of rows. Again, going back to my this is Ocean's 13, a sea of servers.
Or Ghost Protocol, because in Ghost Protocol, when he goes through that window in the tower, there's that whole room of servers like they're describing in the script.
Yeah. Another thing in the script that they do not have in the movie is they talk about as he walks, the tile floors light up under his feet and then turn off when his weight comes off them.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, that is super cool. Guess what they didn't do in this movie? That.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Jackson could do it. Why couldn't Brian De Palma?
I looked at the floor as William Dunlop is walking in there, and no, they've added a plastic layer to the floor of black plastic. That would have been insane trying to facilitate that. And also, as we know, since we know how they're going to be coming in, that would be a waste of money to build. Because they're never going to use it. Only William Dunlow is going to use it. Excuse me. Only William Dunlow is going to use it.
Now, the room does eventually, floor does change color at some point later in the film.
It does. It does when it's activated. Yep. When the room becomes, like when it's locked from the inside, the entire floor becomes white. Also cool.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that means it's on. When the floor is on, it's white.
Yeah.
So that way you know when you're hanging there above it not to touch it.
Yeah, it's weird that it actually has a different color change. That's definitely for the movie, because a good security system wouldn't change how it looked, whether it was on or off.
Yeah.
It would just be sensing everything. As Ethan explains it, we see William Dunlow walk through the door and into this middle room, this entry room to a giant vault. He then places his eye in an eye scanner and then has a key card he's already placed into the door. And this woman walks over from she's sitting at a desk, walks over and plugs hers in. So it's a double verification. And he walks in the room. I got to say, guys, we've talked about people being in rooms before in this movie. There was a scene earlier on in the embassy, Eric, where two Marines, or a Marine and somebody who might have been a robot, were in a tiny room, and they're the ones that are like the gatekeepers letting people on the elevator. In this one, I think we found a new worst job ever, and it's the person who has to sit in that tiny room in Langley, Virginia.
Well, and she does get two security monitors to watch.
She does get two security monitors, but she's also alone.
Yeah.
At least the guy in the closet at the embassy had a friend. The friend was useless because he was a robot, but, oh, this looks awful. And can you just imagine? What do you do? Well, is she security? I mean, is that what she is?
I guess, yeah. And she's doing some sort of paperwork while she's there too. I mean, it's not like she's like focused on the monitors.
Yeah, she has a phone.
There's a pen holder.
A pen holder.
And it looks like a calculator too.
Yeah, she's doing work and she has two monitors. The one monitor looks like of the hallway outside, and the other monitor is another hallway outside. Is that one monitor from the inside of the room?
No.
I can't tell.
It's another hall. It's like the opposite side of the hall.
Why would you have monitors of the outside of the building and not tons of cameras in this white room?
Because they figured nobody's ever going to get in there.
But you have someone sitting outside of it. Why not just have cameras inside of it, too? Oh, my God, this movie doesn't work if there's cameras inside of it.
No, it doesn't.
Because they have no way of turning off those cameras. Well, Luther could have hacked in, I guess, with his thinking machine and AI risk chip. But yeah, this is there's so much tech. There's so much after having three episodes with very little tech. It's like, oh, it's too much. Eric, you're not allowed to pick one of these closed circuit TV monitors.
I know, but you can pick the pen holder.
I gave it away.
Yeah. Yeah, not the pen, but the pen holder. That's tech.
I was curious about those black rectangles on the sidewall that we're viewing.
Yeah,
towards them
at second direct seven.
On. Yeah,
is that what you're talking about before they walk in? Yeah, it's got a very Star Wars vibe of just tubes and knobs sticking out of the wall. Like they must be sensors.
Well, and on each side, it almost looks like those are part of the air conditioning system that we'll hear about later.
Do you think she's in control of the air conditioning system?
That's coming in here too.
I hope it's a radio. I hope it's a giant stereo. And when there's nobody in there, she's just blasting Cream and Bread, and all the other bands that we love. And we know the French people love.
Or it could be one of those things that if the security system goes bad and says that he's not the right person, guns come out of it.
Out
of those little turrets?
Oh, yeah, turrets come out of the little slats.
Make sure you bring your card or you'll get shot by the murder hole.
Exactly.
Yeah, I always like it. A little attention to detail. This was all shot in London, so you know, unfortunately, this was all built also. So nothing's real, guys.
Oh, my illusion of the film is broken.
Well, the little bit of attention to detail I loved at the very first couple seconds, even of this minute, is the electronic noises that were going on.
Sound design in this movie is 50-50. It's either great or it's disgusting. We've had stuff that sounds like we've had needles going in arms that sound like pasta, mops, all this different, I mean, just horrible noises. But yeah, all the electronic sounds in this entire, the sound design in this is great. It's really good compared to some of the horror shows that we've had to listen to earlier. I mean, some of the scenes, it actually sounds like a horror movie's Foley.
No, so. I guarantee you that De Palma and everybody put their effort into this main scene here.
Yeah, I think at this point, this is where the movie starts to really shine. Even this scene and then the next one in the train for the third act, it's the tone is so much different than where we were before with De Palma in the safe house.
Yeah, it becomes more like the movies do as they go on, you know, which is interesting.
I think most of that comes from the fact that Lynn Redgrave is back in the movie again.
Vanessa.
What'd I say?
Lynn. You're saying his sister.
I think it's the fact that Vanessa Redgrave is back in the movie again.
Editing.
She is such a joy, Eric. We love. I'm sorry you didn't have any of her scenes. Max is such a joy.
Yes, we enjoyed her quite a bit last week.
She is the Jean Reno of of not being Jean Reno. She brings such a weight to the movie, and so. Yeah, I think that this scene, once we're in the white room, because we'll be in the white room here in a few minutes, and we're in the right room now. I think that Brian De Palma was definitely trying. His second act is, I think, in this movie, now having seen it minute by minute, I think it's the weakest part of this movie. There's about 20 minutes of this movie that you can't cut because you'd bring the movie down under 100 minutes.
And it's all kind of plotty. Stuff, right, yeah, you know? It's
plot heavy, yeah, I think.
They had to get Claire back in there. They had to explain, you know, Ethan's anger. But yeah, now we're back to it being a spy movie again, which is great.
Not just a spy movie, a fun spy movie.
Yeah, fun spy movie. That's what all spy movies should be, fun.
Yep.
So yeah, well, I'm real positive now. This movie's all, we've gone through our personal Attack of the Clones and are now moving toward episode 4 of this movie. But then this analogy breaks down because the next movie, Mission Impossible 2, is actually more of my Phantom Menace.
So, you've called it your Attack of the Clones before. So I mean,
it is. It's my Attack of the Clones. Because no one has anything good to say about that movie.
There's Jedi in it. Lots of them. They fight.
Eric, when did you first see this movie? Do you remember?
I really don't think I saw it in the theater, that's for sure. I was just starting in the first couple of years of college when this came out in 96, right? You say, you know, so probably just, you know, at home.
Do you think you saw it on like HBO? A lot of people saw it on HBO.
It could have been HBO, yeah.
Or do you think you rented it? Would this be something you would rent? Is this a rent-worthy movie to Eric Nash? Little Eric Nash?
I think it was then, yeah. I bet I rented it. Even though my family, we did have HBO at that time, I think. I think I was interested enough to rent it before HBO got it.
Yeah, we've talked about this with other guests, and it's funny. Sometimes people will only have watched on HBO because it came on. And some people took the time to actually, you know, they probably went to a Blockbuster and saw it on the rack. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Chris and I saw it in the movie theater, not together.
We were in the same area. I mean, we were in the same city, though.
Sure. It was like we were on a date.
Yeah, sure.
We just saw it at different times in different theaters.
I saw it in multiple theaters in Dallas, so I remember it.
I couldn't remember where I saw it, but I'm sure it was the Grand, and I can't even think of
anything. I saw it at the Galaxy because it had just opened, and they did the press screening there. Then I saw it at the Grand like twice, and then once at the UA.
So four.
The UA Cine?
No, the UA Theaters, the one on the Plaza.
Yeah.
The big 12 screen or 8 screen, whatever. No, it was 12 screens.
Yeah, it's always interesting to find out where this movie hit somebody. So you were early in college at that point. So we're only a little bit older because we were finishing up college at that point.
But you had, so Chris, you had four total.
That I can remember. I may have seen it another time with my mom and dad. I may have taken them sometime during the summer to go see it. But I know that before I went home to go visit in the summer, I'd seen it at least four times because I took a bunch of friends to see it at one point.
I think we've never actually talked about this, but I think I only saw it twice in the movie theater. I definitely didn't see it four times.
Yeah, and then I owned the Laserdisc, and then I owned a DVD, and then an HD DVD, and now a Blu-ray. And I'm sure if they do a 4K disc, I would probably own that too.
It's always interesting to see how people found out about this movie, but now we have to deal with something even more important. We need to talk about what was the definitive tech of the week. Chris.
Yes.
Now that we have all this new tech, what do you think would be the tech of the week?
I like the chair that he pulls out that's floating.
That chair is so cool.
It is so cool. I think that's the
We didn't really talk about it in the minute, but in when they open up the white room and we go in there, there is a chair that doesn't touch the ground that comes sliding out of the console.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is
I've always thought that was awesome since the first time I saw it.
That can't be comfortable.
And the thing is, he puts the card in and it comes out. It's not like he pulls it out. It remotely comes out and then opens, which is cool.
Well, he does have to flip up the back.
Yes, he does, but it's still cool.
It is cool.
So, yeah, that's my tech for the day and my tech of the week is that little chair.
Is the robo chair.
Robo chair, yeah.
What about you, Eric?
Well, for the tech of the day, I'll go back to something Chris had said. At the end of the last minute, is what he called the intercom. And I think we deduce that it's not really that anymore.
No, exactly.
After you enter in. And
yeah.
But the reason for the intercom for this device is the symbols at the bottom. I just love that they have these symbols. I was actually in a fraternity in college, and so some of these symbols, I certainly am aware of. But heck, they're also science and physics based too.
Yeah, there's a what? There's a gamma? Delta.
The delta.
The triangle delta. Yeah. Sigma and Omega are the three Greek
and infinity.
Symbols. Infinity. Yeah.
I love infinity.
And what's the one that looks like a O with little sticks coming out of it?
It's a Sputnik. I don't know.
It's a light.
Oh, if you push that, the thing lights up.
In case the room is dark.
So you've got this touchscreen pad, guys, and we'll actually put a picture of this up on the Facebook group. It's got five symbols that are just bonkers. Why would you have those? Is it so your code can be that much more? It's not like that matters. They could just be letters. It doesn't matter. They are letters. it's not like they could be, it's weird that they added symbols as if this makes, yes, if I was going to do it, I would definitely have Omega in my password. I can guarantee you right now, if Omega was a button, I would have it on my password all the time.
Well, you know, they make you do like it's an alphanumeric and some sort of symbol for your password nowadays in a lot of things. I know at my job, I have to have all of the above. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would definitely have an Omega or an infinity instead of an exclamation point.
No help.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, infinity Omega.
Now, so even though I like that, and I wanted to talk about that for this one, for this tech of the week, but the passcode, did you guys note what the passcode is? 789551. So he didn't even hit any of those symbol buttons.
Does that number mean anything?
Yeah, not that I know of. I do like 789 because that's the old joke.
Because 789.
Yeah. Why did six? Why was six scared of seven? Just 789.
That's a weird joke.
It's a Sesame Street joke. I remember it from Sesame Street.
Is it a Sesame Street joke? Then it gets a pass because half my voices are Muppet characters anyway. William Dunlow.
Hi ho.
Is that your? So what's your tech of the week?
No, I think I like that for that. You know,
the code.
Yeah, the close second would be the very first one, the camera.
You're still gunning for that camera. Yeah, camera's not going to make it when you can have this really cool intercom. Mm-hmm. It's not an intercom. It's actually a voice recognition. That's pretty much what an intercom is. It's just it's not a computer on the other side. It's a human right. That's like, oh, that's Fred. Hello, Fred. Come on in.
Wait, you're not Fred.
Wait, you are not Fred. Okay. My tech of the week is going to be every wall in the White Room. Every wall in the White Room is covered in something. If you go to second 40, and those of you at home, go to second 40 of this minute and you can look. There is literally 30 things to look at. And they're everything from knobs to there's a clock on the wall. There's some box that's green and a box that's red. And above that is like a Dharma clock from Lost. I can't even think of what it is above the clock. There's a bunch of stuff going on.
And it looks like hard drives are all layered up in that wall. Like they're just full of hard drives.
The walls are completely covered in hard drives. And they probably have air conditioning vents all around the top. It actually looks kind of Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers to blast open that door.
I know I'm saying the walls of the White Room are my tech of the week, but you know, you've got that robo chair. A robo garbage can next to it is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
robo
garbage
too.
Can is pretty impressive. Yeah.
You don't really notice that either. There's a garbage can, and I would have a no drinks policy.
Yeah, I would too.
In the White Room. I would be like, you don't need to bring coffee in here. But William Dunlow does bring coffee in here. Maybe that coffee will come up in the next minute. I don't know.
Is that coffee or is it a drink with ice in it? Because at some point it sweats, doesn't it?
Oh, then it's tea. In the script, it says it's tea. I always thought it was coffee.
It's coffee later when he's sitting
it
down.
It is coffee later.
But I think this, because this looked like it was already like black and had ice cubes in it. And I think at some point in the next minutes or so, when he's explaining the floor, it drips onto the floor and it goes red. Yeah.
Then it is tea, because in the script and in the book, it's tea.
Oh, then there you go. It is tea.
And that makes sense, because tea does it's going to condensate.
Yep.
Whereas coffee doesn't really do that. Doesn't really sweat.
No.
All right.
Unless it's an iced coffee.
They didn't have that in 96. No one knew what that was.
I'm sure John Renault did.
I've known about ass coffee for years.
Ass coffee? Ass coffee is great.
But yeah, this is where the minute ends, and this is where we have to kick Eric off the train.
Man. Off that caboose room.
Eric, before you go, before we throw you out of the balloon for no ticket... Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Why don't you plug away?
Watch.
Hey, before we did that, did we actually pick a tech of the week?
Oh, I guess we should pick it. Pick. Yeah sure. All right. Which tech of the week do you think wins this entire week, Eric? Whichever one wins. Gets a lofty space on our Facebook page.
I like Chris's chair.
Robo chair gets my vote too in the end, because all this other stuff I'm going to see through the next few weeks. This is the only time Robo chair ever gets to shine, because Robo chair is not used again. And I really love the production design.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, we need a computer that doesn't touch the floor. How are you going to sit? I don't know. put some sort of weird chair sticking out of the wall. I'm like, all right. All right, Chris, you have won Tech of the Week.
Woohoo! Yeah.
You receive nothing except the admiration of your fellow podcasters.
Yay!
Congratulations.
I've already won everything.
Is there anyone you'd like to thank?
No. I did it all myself.
Chris is a self-made man.
Yep.
And he picked his own tech like a big boy.
Yes, I did.
Eric, thank you again for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Let's talk about your podcast, Watchmen Minute.
Right, yeah. So we're going over the 2009 Zack Snyder movie Watchmen, based on the 86-87 graphic novel comic book series by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. And we will be going in a bit into the book. We do have that as a handy reference, and it is the director's cut, 186 minutes.
Good Lord.
With my co-host, Travis Bowe. And so you can find us on Twitter at Watchmen Minute and Facebook.com/Watchmen Minute. And the group for us is the Crime Busters Listener Society on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys all next week for Minute 56. Have a great week. I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Eric. This minute will self-destruct.
Nailed it in one.